Well, good morning, everybody. As you just heard, I'm more of a pracademic, as the new term has been developed, where I've spent a good amount of time at the local health department level and then just moved over to the university. So I'm thrilled to be here today to share what I think really is a project that brought together academia and our local partnerships, and working from kind of both sides of it, I've lived in both worlds. As a side note, Illinois is exploring the State Health Department and the university as another endeavor to this end of being an academic health department. So I talked to Kathleen in January, so it was nice to see the presentation. I have nothing to disclose. I do want to say that the project I'm going to present as an example of this academic practice partnership was funded by NACHO and the CDC. This was a part of their accreditation support initiative that we used to hopefully drive some larger strategic change within the state and perhaps beyond. So there are three learning objectives, but really if I had to say what your take-homes for today would be is using small dollars to drive hopefully big changes, a little bit about some of the service-oriented projects we created by partnering with our practice partners. And then the third is a little bit about sort of the details of an academic and a practice partnership. For example, I'll share a little bit about a hybrid methodology we use to do a needs assessment that some academic partners might say, oh, that's not rigorous enough, but the reality is in practice, if you need to move something, you can't always wait to apply all of the rigor that we might have otherwise applied. So with that, I'll describe a little bit about the situation so you have some context. I'll then describe the approach that we took with the project, and then a little bit of our findings and a few recommendations. And so for the situation, which you all are aware, we have monumental changes occurring in public health. I think more than ever before, we often say that in public health, but with healthcare reform and with the national prevention strategy, local health departments or health departments, public health, are being called upon to yet again redefine perhaps who they are and what they do. We have a set of worker competencies that have been developed, and I think there it raises into question whether or not those competencies still apply to the local level, much less what the local level even looks like. And so if we look, for example, for the prevention strategy, calls for increased attention to policy systems changes, and, you know, are the local health departments prepared to do some of those policy systems changes? There's been a lot of attention to that, but are we ready to do that? So training is needed regardless. But unfortunately, the NACHO profile in 2010 revealed that not all or even less than half of the health departments had training plans for their health department workers. And slightly older data, but from the state level, only 60% of the state health department agencies reported using core competencies. So you have a gap. And even though that's old, I know that the data hasn't improved a whole lot since then. And then, you know, many barriers to workforce development exist. It can be expensive to travel. Online methods tend to be preferred right now. There's just not a budget to make the trip. Like here to APHA, I heard of one of the working groups I'm on, for example, we had a meeting 2 days ago, and 15 of its members couldn't make it here to APHA, and it's one of the few times that group is able to get together. So it's just not, the traditional approaches just aren't feasible. I know this isn't new to many of you, but it's important to mention. So we looked at voluntary accreditation as one solution. In particular, for those of you who are accreditation nerds like myself, domain 8 is about workforce development, and 8.2 in particular is about assessing and then meeting the needs of your workers for competencies and developing a training plan and training. A little bit about Illinois. So the state of Illinois has 94 health departments. It has a large urban center with the city of Chicago and then Cook County. The rest is largely rural. And we have a long history of strong workforce development in Illinois. We're thankful to have Barney Turnock and Patrick Lenihan and Lou Rowitz and Arden Handler and a lot of the people who first really looked to capacity building in the state. So with their leadership, we really had a strong approach throughout the 90s and in this past decade, in the early years anyway, to having coordinated workforce development plans regardless of the geography. and regardless of, really monetary ability. And we use the preparedness grants as well, like many of us, for infrastructure building around workforce development. Unfortunately, the focus shifted and became more technically oriented with preparedness, and as such, the state focus shifted as well. And so we are almost back to the beginning of where we were 13 years ago. We had a learning management system in Illinois, and it is gone. We have recently adopted TRAIN, which is another learning management system, but that's just up and coming. So 10 years, 15 years of work, we kind of went down the drain. And so we have a major gap now. And this was all anecdotal reported from the health departments and from our knowledge and my knowledge working in the field and then through some of our partners. And there are multiple agencies conducting workforce development. We have the State Illinois Public Health Association, the Illinois Public Health Institute, we have MidAmerica, which is the institute I come from. I could go on, and it's not coordinated in a way, workforce development's not coordinated in a way that it could. And our center, MidAmerica, which is linked to the university, has been around since the 90s, also currently funded by the Public Health Training Centers and several other grants, is the only center that has that academic link with the history and the expertise to do workforce development. So we saw ourselves, we used this opportunity to build a bit of capacity strategically. So just two seconds here on MidAmerica. As I said, it is linked with the University of Illinois at Chicago, but it's really the practice arm with the local health departments and some of the other local partners. We were one of the first in the nation to do online training, even before some of the preparedness grants and other grants came out. We're one of the first to have the Public Health Training Center grants. We were one of the first to have a leadership institute. And so really rooted with the locals and rooted nationally with a workforce development approach. This is just a little sample of our website where you can see all training-based type activities. And so our opportunity, NACHO came out with a request for proposals last fall, and if those of you who know the ASI work, we're talking $40,000 in a six-month period of time. Incredibly short, small amount of money to be pushed through, especially through large bureaucracies. Having said that, given what I just described from the national framework along with the local dynamics, and we were uniquely suited because of our past history. We had lots of partnerships. I had practice partnerships along with an academic tie-in and academic resources. We were able to move forward, apply, and receive the funding. And I'll explain in a minute, hopefully use this opportunity for a 30,000-foot sort of long-term approach, which just remains to be seen, but we set it up this way. We also had recently redone our strategic plan for MidAmerica. I recently became the deputy director. We have a new director, Mike Fagan, so it's an opportunity here to kind of refresh the field. And I do want to acknowledge I have several colleagues in the audience here. Elise Papke and Ronnie is here, if you could just raise your hands, as well as any other MidAmerica folks. Sophie's here. Helped with this project, so they just walked into the room. I wanted to acknowledge them. So we've been working really hard in Illinois to try to kind of rebuild this lost infrastructure. So with that in mind, we were really cognizant as we approached the Accreditation Support Initiative, and I've been a little surprised, although I expected some of this, that when you come from academia into the practice world, it can be very difficult to develop partnerships because there's a really strong perception academics do not really understand what's happening at the field level, and no surprise, unfortunately, I think all too often that tends to be true. So it does help to have folks that have been positioned either over the long term to create trust between the partners at the local level and academia, and or someone like myself who's been in the field and has those links to be able to even have these conversations. And so when this opportunity came up, had we not already had strong partnerships with the state and some of the locals, I can guarantee you this wouldn't have been as successful as it was. And if we do make movement in the next 6 months to a year and going forward, it will be because of those strong relationships and trust that was built over years, kind of speaking to what happens with these academic health departments as well. We don't have an academic health department, but it's about that relationship building, and we already have that. So there wasn't necessarily this reaction, I don't think, when we came to them saying, can you help us in the next 2 weeks get this grant together, and if by doing so, we will be able to give you resources back. So there were five things that we did. I'm not going to go through all these ad nauseum. I'm going to highlight three, but just to set you up for this. We partnered with three different health departments at the local level, North, Central, and South, to represent the different geography with along the state, as well as the state health department, to create a readiness work group to help us think through the short-term and the long-term issues related to workforce development that went just beyond accreditation. That while the Accreditation Support Initiative's focus was on building readiness for accreditation, this was really about workforce development readiness for the state. And that was really important to us. We had lost this infrastructure. Could we use $40,000 to at least give a taste of what action looked like for the state? So we used this work group of leaders to help us think that through and drive this. We also did a gap assessment report of 12 health departments, three in the North, Central, and South, and these three coordinating agencies that do training to help tease out what the issues were about how we might better coordinate. We did then assess worker competencies of these three health departments that we mentioned that sat on our work group to assess to help them get ready for accreditation. We developed plans for them, and then I'll show you in a minute, we developed a toolkit that's online now that anyone really could use throughout the state of Illinois to build infrastructure. So I'll quickly walk through with you three of these components just a little bit more in detail. So you'll get a taste of some readiness for accreditation, you'll get a taste of the hybrid approaches for the qualitative approach we use for the assessment piece, and then this online toolkit, which I think could be a national model for helping health departments get ready when they can't travel or they can't necessarily attend trainings. So it's really important to local health departments and other partners, as you all know, to provide service. I mean, they, at the end of the day, need to get work done. So that's something we have to be able to do. So MidAmerica was the host of this learning management system back in early 2000 that I mentioned. So we are very well-trained and aware of how to do competency assessments. So with these three health departments that were preparing for accreditation, we issued with them an online competency assessment. And then based on that assessment, again, because we had been doing this for so long, helped them match their gaps to a training plan and recommended trainings and issued those back to those health departments, one of which submitted for accreditation this past summer, early summer, I think, and the other two are gearing up to do it in the very near future. And from that process and working with them, a couple things happened. We did develop an online toolkit that I'll just show you a picture of in a minute about the steps that you take to do a competency assessment or domain 8.2 in particular in the train, and then linking it to the training plan and then doing the training, which is required for accreditation. It is interesting to note that there isn't anything like this out there. Despite all this conversation, we looked and looked, and even TRAIN doesn't necessarily have a step-by-step toolkit, the Public Health Foundation's TRAIN, which is a wonderful tool. It's just something very simple that walks through the sort of A through Z steps of how to do this process. The other thing we observed in doing this process in a national gap sense was that there are resources available, but there wasn't the communication up and down from national level folks down to these local health departments who didn't know about what things were available. TRAIN does have a competency assessment in it, but they were unaware of it. So there's an opportunity for education and communication that we learned from this process, too. And the other thing we did from this experience of doing the competency assessment and the training plans, we, besides the online toolkit, are trying to present the process along with our state partners so that the rest of the state gets educated. And we were long done with this grant in May. This is just a picture of this online toolkit. So what do I mean by an online toolkit? It really with audio, it's very low-tech audio voiceover, walks through the steps A through Z of how to do domain 8.2. It needs some tweaking. It could be a bit sexier, if you will, but it does have the basics and directs you to where you need to go in a one-stop shop. Ohio had done some of this work prior to us, the Ohio Practice-Based Training Center, but it was on paper. It wasn't on a venue in which you could just click through with a voiceover. So I do need to give them some credit, because when we were applying, we did do a little search for this, and they were the only ones we could find that had anything in one place. So this is another practice piece that we provided back to the health departments that the state can benefit from. Three health departments, helping them get ready for Domain 8.2, providing a toolkit that could go beyond the scope of the $40,000, and then helping linking them to training. So conducting a needs assessment. So when I was in practice, despite my doctoral degree, I knew that doing any kind of evaluation or practice-based research was very challenging. Our demands are great, they're daily, and taking a lot of time with rigor and research just isn't practical. We also had some experiences with our academic partners that in which we would do evaluation with them, and they would there was a disconnect between the work that we were doing and the work that they thought needed to be done. And unfortunately, even to the extent where sometimes they would publish without letting us know. So I had a healthy taste of really what needed to happen in terms of doing a needs assessment that was going to drive change, or try to drive change that wouldn't take forever. So what we did is, as I said, we interviewed in the North, Central, and South, three health departments along with these three organizations about their perspectives of workforce development, with the goal of creating sort of a policy brief of sorts, or not a policy brief, but a policy recommendation, and found a lot of really interesting things, and I'm not going to be able to go through all of them today because I do want to get to a few of these other findings. But there's no question local health departments are committed to training, and they're really, really wanting someone to help them to connect the dots for how they can do it better, faster, quicker, cheaper. And we know how to do that already. We've been there. We've done that. So this is an opportunity for the state. The other thing I just want to mention that I think is important for those of you who issue grants or are aware of grant processes is the health departments reported in this assessment, in addition to the lack of coordination, in addition to needing faster approaches, that the health department said the grants mandated so many narrow trainings that they were unable to get to the skill base that was required to really do public health work. And so that was a trigger for us to say that how can we work with the state through its various grants to kind of standardize the basics of what workers might need based on the local needs, so to bridge that disconnect. All the time they spend on NIMS training and whatnot, not that it's not important, but that's all they're able to get to. The only thing I'll mention off of this slide, I think, is that one thing we didn't do was we didn't have strong enough state buy-in because of the short turnaround. And so once we finished the assessment report and we finished the online toolkit, while the state was sitting on our work group committee, because we weren't ingrained enough, and this gets to the academic health department, into their system from the forefront, we're going to have to fight a little harder on the back end to try and work with the state. Not that they're not collaborative, that's not my point, is that it was sort of, if we had been doing it all along as a part of their planning, this might have happened right away, whereas now we're going to have to do it a little bit more slowly, which is why we're working on this state academic health department. There's one other thing I'll say off of this slide is that really the health departments also spoke to us about, and through this process we learned about, is the competencies that are coming out at the national level. The local respondents, that the local health departments said, the respondents said, they just aren't relevant. Those competencies, and I'm speaking from them, this is just their words, that the local competencies are hard to understand, and they're not relevant to what they're doing every day, and especially with ACA coming down in the National Prevention Strategy, they're having a really hard time knowing how to interpret them, to have all of their staff, frontline and leadership, take them. And so they're not doing it. And I think, that's a lost opportunity. They're also reporting that because of the losses in funding and workforce development in the state of Illinois, but as most of you probably know, public health training centers, all of the emergency preparedness training centers were gutted. And so the money for workforce development is gone. And so how are we going to go for accreditation with any of it, much less Domain 8, if a lot of this money is gone and there's not the coordination? Again, according to the locals, the competencies aren't relevant. It wasn't a very good picture of sort of where they're at, given the national landscape. So I think just to summarize here, the lessons learned for an academic practice partnerships, and I've been kind of giving them all along as we go here, but really listening, having academics, and academics don't always do this. This is the kind of work I want to do, but taking questions from practice rather than from theory more often, or at least involve your participants early to make sure your questions are going to be relevant in the end. Not just in the beginning and not at the end, the entire time, because as you're moving through your cycles of research, things can change and you need to have that contact. The other point that I'll make here is that really looking at the level of scholarship that's being contributed, that rigor is vital, but at the same time, action is even more important. So with that, my recommendations I think I've already pointed to here, I do think there's a lot of opportunity for exploring the definitions of practice-based research and practice scholarship that came out of this. Leaving you with the quote, leadership and learning are indispensable to each other, that I think both academics and practice folks are going to have to adapt. With lots of funding more than ever before, we're going to need to work to both adapt our methods and our perspectives of one another to move forward. So, thank you.